Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Kridamanaha.
Kridamanaha.
Now Krishna, being still more grown up.
Now Krishna, being still more grown up.
Was playing with other children.
Was playing with other children.
Of the same age.
Of the same age.
Tay. Rama Adhyaha. Balarama and others.
Balarama and others.
Agopadarakaha.
Agopadarakaha.
Other boys born in the same neighborhood.
Other boys born in the same neighborhood.
Of a coward man.
Of a coward man.
Krishna Mridam Bhakshitavan.
Krishna Mridam Bhakshitavan.
O Mother.
O Mother.
Krishna has eaten earth.
Krishna has eaten earth.
A complaint was lodged.
A complaint was lodged.
Indeed,
thus,
Matre, unto Mother Yashoda, Yavedayan, they submitted. Translation. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. So, you can repeat. One day while Krishna was playing, with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopas,
all his
friends
came together
and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda.
Mother, they submitted.
Krishna has eaten earth.
Krishna
teaches her. So, for birth by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Chuvalpachuvalpati Jai. Here's another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yashoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yashoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented that Krishna had eaten her. Actually, we'll read the next. These are all pretty much just a story, and I will explain a few things here. Text 33. Sadrihitva kari Krishna upalabhya gitari. Kutai Shine Yashoda Vaya Sambranta Rikshadaksham Vasata. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. Text 34. Kasman vidam adantatvan pavan bhakshitavan ramahama raha vidanti tavaka yate varaste vrjo vyam. Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you've eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother, Balaram. How is this? Purport. Mother Yashoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should a restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, my dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me. Text 35. Naham bhakshitavan hum sarve mitya visham shanaha. Yadasachagirastari samaksham pashame mukham. Lord Sri Krishna replied, my dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine.
Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of material affection. As described in the Shastra, Tana Moyam Vidorod Dir Vatsalya Asaposhta. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna, it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing all the other devotees of being liars. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, 12th chapter, 11th text, Krita Punya Punjaha. A devotee may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the results of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. One should not consider these transactions of transcendental service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attain the stage of associating with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasa, brahmacharyena, charyena cha, dhyanena cha. That's interesting. That means austerity of being brahmachari, living celibate, controlling, dhyanena cha, controlling. Anyway. So, we'll get on to Madanda Shagavan Janash Lakaya Chakshuru Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigave Namaha. So, previously, Yashodamani was not angry with Krishna when he did all those rascally things like pinching babies and passing urine. Actually, it's described by the Acharyas that not only did Krishna pass urine and stool on people's floors inside their house, but he encouraged the animals to do it too. In other words, he brought the monkeys into the houses and the monkeys passed stool on you. Yuck! You know, Krishna's stool on you is kind of nice, but that's, you know. Anyway, so Yashodabai didn't get angry with Krishna for any reason because he really wasn't in danger. But a mother is very much attentive to the child's welfare. And certainly eating dirt is not consistent with good health, usually. Not consistent. I remember when we were young, I mean, children have a habit of putting different things into their mouths. I mean, little babies. Is that true, Michelle? No. Not his age, but I mean, I remember. You have to be really careful what you put in front of children, isn't it? I remember with myself, I used to suck on money, like a penny, to, you know, the copper paste and everything like that. And one time I swallowed a penny. Hopefully it's not still in there. So it's not at all unusual for little children to be eating things like dirt or anything they get their hands on. Actually, sometimes with animals, if you find them eating dirt, it means they have some nutritional deficiency. Or even with children, it means they have a nutritional deficiency. But not the person who doesn't have a nutritional deficiency. So Yashodamai, she's in anxiety over his welfare. That's why she got angry. Not because he was doing all this trickery stuff before, but because he was concerned with his welfare. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you find Jagannath Mishra getting very, very angry with little Nimai when he was eating the Brahmin's offerings before the Brahmin made his offerings. I mean, you see this intense anger he had. He was actually chasing little Nimai with a stick to beat him, and Brahman had to just like hold Jagannath Mishra off. So sometimes you find this like move of anger in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, the anger is there because the devotee wants to train him up nicely. Of course, we're not advocating corporal punishment for children. That's not something we're advocating. Of course, in India, that was there, and it's still there in India. So, anyway, getting back to the point here of Krishna's pastime, this is not something mundane, although it appears to be mundane. Actually, the mundane things appear to be real, whereas they're not real. Whereas Krishna's pastimes are real. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish. I was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was talking about how this material world appears to be real. He was using some interesting metaphors to illustrate the point. The first metaphor he gave was the metaphor of a mirage in a desert. That sometimes, and I've experienced this before too, not that I've been in so many deserts, but sometimes we were driving in Florida and it's very hot out there, and you actually see water in the road when it's really hot. You know, Florida gets really hot, especially around Gainesville, which is the hottest place in America, east of the Mississippi. Gainesville and Alachua. So don't move to Alachua. It was so hot there in the summer that all we could do is float down the Itchituckley Springs on a tube for 3 hours just to, like, not die. So anyway, so you would see, it's true, isn't it, Krishna Prabhupada? She knows. So you would see this mirage out there. And of course in the desert too, there's different mirages. And Prabhupada said that a human being has the intelligence to know that the mirage is a mirage. It's not real water. And he won't run after it. Of course, unless a human being is just like so much dehydrated that he's going crazy, that he'll run after it and die. But generally, it's the animals that run after the mirage because they don't have the intelligence. So the point Prabhupada was making is that we should have the intelligence, and I'm going to describe in a second, how to distinguish the reflection from the reality. Because we're not animals. So the animal runs, the human being says, no, it's just a mirage. So another example Prabhupada gave, which I thought was even a little more interesting, and something we all experience. Prabhupada was talking about how you walk by a storefront and you see a beautiful woman or a handsome man in a storefront. What is that?
Mannequin.
A mannequin. You know, mannequin. A deity. And they're dressed, Prabhupada said they're dressed very nicely and they're very beautiful. And you know, sometimes the man, you'll see in New York, I was in New York, anyway, I won't mention the name of the store. There was one store something secret. And, you know, the store, like, women half dressed, and the men were just standing in front of there, looking at the store, taking darshan. I was just thinking, but this is really an illusion. Taking darshan of the mannequins, thinking it's so beautiful. Of course, at the same time, we are taking, I don't want to say darshan, yeah, darshan would be right. But we're taking darshan of these different, let's say even living entities, immaterial bodies, and thinking they're so beautiful. And they're basically yantra, vigani, maya. Like sometimes I criticize some people who are getting robots for girlfriends and boyfriends. Especially in Japan, it's quite common. They have robot dogs, isn't it? And robot girls and everything like that. You know, it's good. I mean, save money. Cheaper than a wife. So anyway, so they have robots. And then, you know, I criticize them and I say, this is crazy. But then again, I think about it, the robot's a machine, because there's no soul inside. And people are attracted to these material bodies, and it's the same thing, it's just machine. Just like that famous story from Kafka, Metamorphosis, which I often cite. It's about a young boy who is loved by his family. And then one morning he wakes up and he's a giant cockroach. And the family ultimately lets him die. Poor guy. So it's just, in other words, we're really attached to just like machines. Yantra, Rudani, Maya. Mannequins with a soul inside. Where's the soul? It's a little bit different than the mannequin. So this is the illusion in this material world. It's not reality. It appears to be reality because of Krishna's illusory potency. And so the question is, of course, the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita deals with this to some degree extensively. How this material world is a reflection of the spiritual realm, like a reflection of a banyan tree on a river or a body of water. And the branches are down, and the leaves and the roots are up. And no one can tell where it begins, and no one can tell where it ends. Like a banyan tree. Anyone who's seen a banyan tree knows that the branches are also roots, which is really interesting. I remember I was in Hawaii, and we have the biggest banyan tree in the island of Oahu. Is right in the backyard of the temple. And you see all these branches coming down, and the branches become roots. It's really interesting. And of course, the roots, you can't even tell where they end. They go into the... We had to spend so much money because the roots go into the neighbor's property. Like, probably hundreds of feet, they go underground into the neighbor's property, and then they come again, and they become branches. So this is the material world, a quite appropriate example, which is probably in the Vedic literature issues. So the question is, how do we get out of this place, this illusion? And of course, the first point I was making before I quote the verse from the Bhagavad Gita is that one has to have the intelligence like a human being in the desert that knows it's a mirage. It looks real, feels real, smells real. This is not only like a sight mirage, it is a multi-sensual dimension mirage. You smell it, you taste it, you see it, you touch it. Phew! That's pretty good. It's almost like that Matrix movie where you're plugged in like that. So by intelligence we should know it's just illusion. So let's say a man gets attracted to a lady. It's just, not that she's an illusion. Sometimes the men would blame the lady for their own illusion. They'll say, "You're a Maya baby. But you're the one who's in Maya." Here, don't blame her. It's like getting angry at a mannequin because you're attracted. Can you imagine? "You stupid mannequin, stupid computer." Or my getting angry at a Tesla. It's the same thing, isn't it? So we have to have the intelligence to know to distinguish matter from spirit. It was a very important part. This is called Buddhi Yoga. Yoga to connect with intelligence, to know this is matter and this is spirit. So my attraction to this mannequin, or my attraction to a man or to a woman, or to a dog, dog's body, because it pleases us, or to, if it's obsequious means it tries to please us. We should just think, this is illusion. I'm attracted to it, but it's illusion. So there's this two things going on in the brain, like a split personality, basically. I want it, but it's mine. I want it, but it's mine. And then you think, but what is my goal in life? Like we're talking about on Sunday, you know, having a goal. You know, what is your mission? Not just immediate goal. What is your mission in life? I want to be Krishna conscious. So based on that mission, then I accept and reject things. Even though I may want to chase after the illusion. Just like there's an example of Lord Shiva. Of course, this wasn't complete. There was an illusion. Lord Shiva asked Mohini Murti, I want to see that form of yours. And Krishna said, okay, here we go. Yeah. And then he showed his Mohini Murti female form, and Lord Shiva was chasing after all around the world, you know, several times Mohini Murti. So anyway, so it means like withdrawing the senses when we understand my intelligence. It's not conducive to my mission in life. Okay, I may want to do it, but because the mind is accepting, rejecting based on attraction and repulsion. So that's intelligence. So then further, Krishna gives us some hint in the 15th chapter of the Gita. He says, Nirmana Mohajita Sangha Dosha Vyavanyacha Vinibhita Kama One Bar Vimukdara Sukaduka Sangya Pachanchi Muda Padamati Yavta Ta. He says that to get out of this illusion, this reflection of the mandarin tree, the first thing is really interesting. The first thing Krishna says is Nirmana. Give up your false prestige. You know, just like Lord Chaitanya phrase, what? Amanina manadena kirtanyana sadhari. Give up this idea that you're important. That's the false prestige. You understand? Not that simply you're thinking, I want everyone to look at me. That's one manifestation of false prestige. But the actual false prestige is, you know, I'm important. I'm number one, you gotta take care of number one. Or like the two divisions of false ego, I and mine. You know, so of course the way we give up false prestige is understanding instead of I and mine, everything belongs to Krishna. And Krishna is the important person. So, you know, there's a positive way to get rid of false prestige. It's not that you get rid of false prestige by negating it. I am nothing. You're not nothing. That's my philosophy. Yeah, Buddhist philosophy, sorry. My philosophy would be like, I'm God, or you know, I didn't realize it's God. So Buddhist philosophy is, you're nothing. Like, what do you give Mayavadi, what do you give the Buddhists for Christmas? Nothing. Then, you know, you have a elaborately wrapped gift, and inside is a vacuum. Nothing, not even air, you know, just anyway. So I am nothing. Now, not that you're nothing, you're something. But Krishna is important. And the devotees are important. So nirmana, moha, illusion. So you give up this illusion that you're the enjoyer, you're the proprietor, or this world is actually real in the sense of permanent. The world is real, but it's not permanent. As Krishna states in the Gita, nasato vijate bhavo nabha bho vijate sadha ubhaya api drishyo antas tvaniyas tadva darshani. Those things which are temporary are not really real. They exist, yeah, temporary, like a soap bubble. Soap bubble, you can say it's real, but in another sense, it's not real. It's real and unreal. Like that. Or, let's say you could say to someone, I'm going to show you something that's seen for the first time and no one will ever see again. And you peel a fruit, you have to eat the fruit. It's never seen again. Of course, you transform it. By your mercy, the fruit is transformed into something despicable and obnoxious. So anyway, so the reality, so you see, nirmana, moha, jitta sangha dosha. Then you have to give up, if you want to maintain that equanimity, that consciousness, you have to give up bad association. You know, that's like Prabhupada said sometimes, like devotees don't read newspapers. I mean, once in a while you read a newspaper, but the point is, just like when I go visit my mother, she has all these piles of newspapers, that's all she reads. All day long she brags, I don't watch TV. But she's reading newspapers all the time. So jitta sangha dosha. So dosha, but dosha means bad association. So that means, you know, either people or knowledge or food cooked by people who are not Krishna conscious. That's also bad association. You know, Prabhupada also said, you see by the rules or the injunctions Prabhupada gave us that, you know, don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. That's sangha dosha. Bad association. Jitta sangha dosha. Atyatma nicha. But understand the eternal. Vinivritta kama. Give up this vinivritta kama, give up this lust. And dvandvar vimuktar. Sukaduka sangha. Then you should be free of this whole concept of duality. Of course, Krishna also mentions this in the Gita in many cases. In other words, tolerate the different dualities. Just like we were talking to someone yesterday who was complaining about how managing an ISKCON is full of anxiety. It's like having 25 children. So, anyway. So one has to tolerate tamsa tisha shabharata. Nirmana moha jita sanna dosha vyapna nichan vinipratikam tvadvari mukta sukha dukha samya let known as happiness and distress gachancha mudha parnyavyam ta. In this way, someone who is attain these particular understandings or qualities, gacchanti mula paramabhyam ta, that person can actually go back to the spiritual world, paramabhyam ta, can understand reality. So this is how we can see through the matrix, or samsara, I always use that example, see through the illusion of this material world. And at the same time, we understand what's going on in Krishna's pastimes is not illusory. It's real. Why is it real? It's eternal. Like Krishna stealing the butter, Krishna supposedly eating dirt. Some of the acharyas say Krishna ate dirt. Some of the other ones say maybe he didn't, or maybe he didn't eat dirt. But in any case, they're accusing him of eating dirt. So this is happening right now. This is eternal pastime. That's why we say it's real. Nitya Lila. It's happening in some planet, somewhere, in some material universe. This particular pastime is happening. And also, when you read about these pastimes, they're actually happening in your heart if you actually absorb them and read them properly. It's not that it's just some statement about something that had happened, you know, several years ago. Just like the other day I was reading about World War II. Because it happened to be D-Day. You know D-Day? I was reading about D-Day, you know, where Normandy, and, you know, the beach and everything like that. But it's gone. And all these veterans, and, you know, we respect them. They did quite a lot to, you know, to keep this world safe. I'm not disrespecting them. But the last veterans are going to be gone soon. Some of them are jumping out of airplanes for the last time. You know, 95-year-old man jumping out of an airplane just to relive his experience of jumping out of the airplane so many years ago. But after that, it's all forgotten. You know, 200 years from now, it'll be in some history book somewhere, or they won't have books 200 years from now. It'll be in some computer, whatever, 200 years from now, the information. And then 500, 1,000 years, it'll be like, you know, when we hear about Genghis Khan or Mahabharata Wars. Because the Mahabharata War and Krishna's past is regenerative too. So, anyway, so we're interested in things that are eternal, real. And we can also enter into these pastimes. As Prabhupada says here, kritta punya, punya. That means, phew, having achieved pious activities after many births. Prabhupada actually did, it doesn't say many births here, but punya, punya. Very pious. A devotee may achieve, may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Of course, that may be a little discouraging for us, as I mentioned on Sunday. Many, many births, and I want to get out of here right away. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you could do only one birth if you remain fixed in your practices of Krishna consciousness. And also, it's not a bad idea to serve Krishna for many, many births. It's kind of nice. Actually, Prabhupada even made this statement, I have no hope for direct devotional service, the coming soldiers, you know, I forget the exact wording. So we should have this consciousness that we're happy serving Krishna in any capacity, whether we go back to Godhead after this lifetime or we stay in the material world to serve Krishna. So in any case, right now, you can enter into Krishna's pastimes and you hear Prabhupada's words. You hear Prabhupada's words submissively, without nirvana moha, without false prestige or any of these other things mentioned, jita sangha dosha. You hear, you can be there in Prabhupada's and Krishna's pastimes. You don't have to wait till you go back to the spiritual world. That's the potency of Srila Prabhupada. Not simply some description for something that you may experience in the future, but you can experience it right now. If you hear with the proper attention and devotion. So, any questions or comments?
As far as many lifetimes, Lord Chaitanya says, in the fourth verse of the Shastra,
yeah.
I don't want wealth, women, or followers. I just want to serve.
Yeah. Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shrivay, Baba
Janmani. So for us to do that in the line of Lord Chaitanya, that is really going back to Godhead.
Yes, that is going back to Godhead. That we're supposed to have that mentality. That's why Lord Chaitanya gave us that. Shikshashita verse. Back to home, back. Of course, in the beginning, Prabhupada did encourage us to want to go back to home, back to Godhead. But, you know, sometimes you got to put little carrots out for the donkeys. In the beginning. But, you know, after a few years in the Hare Krishna movement, you know, it's just like, you should have a taste for serving. If you don't, you're in trouble. Okay, on that happy note, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.